You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
31, episode number 58. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I am Rogue Schindler.
Happy release day. Allegiance is out, so that's what we're going to talk about. Now that we've seen the entire spoiler, the question is, what are you going to play first?
That's an excellent question. I've been thinking about that a lot since we only have but a week left before our big Phoenix tournament that we have to celebrate the new year here in San Diego. And so far, I'm kind of thinking I might try the Delta Quadrant. It's been a while since I've looked at those missions and not held them in disdain because of assorted Chakotay Voyager shenanigans.
So I've been looking forward to playing the TOS guys from the motion picture. It's been a long time since I've seen the movie. I don't know if I've ever sat down and watched the movie start to end.
You know, I don't really know that you need to do that. It's kind of like, you know, everybody always says that they've never seen the Star Wars holiday special, and they really want to see the Star Wars holiday special because even though everybody says bad things about it, they want to experience it just to have said that they've done it. You don't need to do it.
Well, okay. I can agree with that. But I like the idea of playing TOS and splashing in a few of these guys to get the cost of the personnel up so that you're not getting killed off by those attrition dilemmas.
Yeah, those are pretty rough.
And yet still having a lot of the, like, on-the-fly abilities that the affiliation does. So, you know, very conditional things. Like, if I need to blow up an event, I can. If I need to, you know, download a ship, I can. And yet I still got all the, you know, you get to play with the good people.
Exactly. Yeah, I think there should definitely be a lot of allegiance on the Phoenix tournament. I'm looking forward to seeing what everybody brings. I am sort of tempted to play Ferengi now that we've seen all the cards this week. I don't know. I'm still deciding.
We've got, let me see if I can get him on the line here.
Okay.
We've got Charlie. Charlie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Fantastic.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
So, Charlie, we've just been discussing actually what we're planning on playing at the first tournament this is legal for. You had a hand in a lot of the design. What are you aside from the game that you've already played, which I must say did not go very well for you, what are you looking forward to actually sitting down with cards in hand and playing with?
Well, I'm actually interested in playing with a lot of the cards that create teams. I think all of the teams are really cool, and that's all we've really talked about, but we haven't done any really article writing or any focusing on those of the cards that were part of Final Cut. Some of those are actually pretty clever. I think the Reman card, it lets you, whenever your Reman is killed, you can plop a new one down. So you can just sort of keep replacing your Remans.
You know, I haven't pulled out the deck builder and checked. How many different Remans are there?
Not as many as you would think, unfortunately.
There's only about six?
I think there's five. There's four non-unique ones, and the Viceroy.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it'd be nice if there was a couple more, but even with, you know, if you run 12 non-unique Remans in there, you know, even if they're getting murdered left and right, you can just, you know, plop down another one and keep them coming. So, and you never know, we might make more Riemanns in the future if people find that interesting. I also like the ship helper card.
Really? Well, we've already seen the... I think the ship helper... Has it changed since we voted on it?
No, none of them... Except for maybe a few wording tweaks here and there, none of them have really changed. The ship helper is called Helping Hand now.
Okay.
And I have an article going up on Monday that is a Starfleet battle deck that uses that to pump up the Starfleet ships to beat whoever they're fighting, because they're fairly low weapons. But there is a lot of NX-class ships that you can put into a deck.
Okay,
so you
yeah.
can, and it's unlimited, so I can discard, you know, three ships and go up weapons 12 and beat almost anybody. So,
well, that sounds fun right there.
Yeah, it's a deck that it's sort of like a... it uses the Premier Battle to damage cards
yeah,
to blow you up. And then
damage
it combos
events.
With... tactical disadvantaged dilemma pile, because you're going to keep a number of ships in your hand at all times, so, you know, that's the idea. There's some synergy there. I'm not sure how good of a deck it is, but...
Okay, I've changed my mind. I want to play that now. I'm a huge fan of unexpected battle decks.
Yeah, it's... Well, I mean, really, the statistically, the best deck to use with it is the Romulans, because they can put, I think it's 21... the Derridex in the deck. Next is the Klingons with 18, and Starfleet is also 18. So, I think it's, yeah, because you've got Enterprise, Columbia, Future Enterprise, the two Mirror Universe ones, and the prototype is actually NX Class 2. So you can get six different ships times three copies each. You can get 18 NX Class ships in your deck. And the Dilemma Pile also uses three back to basics. So you can, you know, pitch all your ships and then reshuffle them back in and just keep doing it all day.
Are you playing with so. Like rebuilding the fleet as well?
I did not, but it'd probably be a good thing to put in, and maybe I should go edit my deck before the article goes up to put that in there. So.
Yeah.
None of them are cost six or more, though, so you don't get any big bonuses out of it.
You'll have to make sure you'll kill whatever ship Dukat is on, since... That seems to be in everybody's deck everywhere.
Yeah, I guess I should probably splash in deal with the Count Man, but, you know, it's really... Dukat is probably one of those things that, before too much longer, is going to have to be addressed.
These guys know. I bitch about it at every tournament.
There's no plans on the table, but like I said, the more and more it gets used, probably the more and more... You know, now that it's freely printable... In things past, more and more people are going to use it, and that's going to just sort of, you know, put more pressure on us to find a way to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, though. All the teams are really exciting. I haven't done anything with the Ferengi or the Motion Pictures teams. I focused mostly on Starfleet and Equinox during testing. So, you know, I've got an Equinox deck that I've made better since the last time I played it, and I'll probably get off with that. But you never know. So,
how did your games with the Starfleet team go? I was intrigued to see them coming out and actually making Samuels a card that's actually worth playing now.
Well, and to be honest, Samuels and that the NX prototype were all sort of put together. Knowing that this was coming, so one of the advantages of the way that we're working is that we sort of have two sets ahead. We kind of know what's going in there, and so when we were doing, you know, Raise the Stakes, and even as far back as the Undiscovered Country, we were like, we want to play. You know, one of the things this is way back when we were doing Undiscovered Country, nobody was really happy with the whole space first Starfleet theme because it didn't really gel, you know, it didn't really make a lot of sense. So we were talking about, well, what do we want to do? And I'm like, well, let's move them to a founding of the Federation, having non-humans around is good type of situation. And that's where Nathan Samuels originally came from. And then we decided, well, let's we will do At some point, we're going to do the people from Enterprise E-Squared, which are all non-humans, and that'll make him better. And then when we did the prototype, we're like, well, we're going to be putting out all these non-humans here soon that'll make the ship really good, so let's just go ahead and put the ship in now, and everybody will complain about how horrible it is. And then in two sets down the road, everybody will be like, oh, these cards are good now. So it was kind of neat to have that sort of forethought there. It's pretty nice. But yeah, they're good. Greer is a beast, by the way, and he alone is probably worth putting in. Him and the Future Enterprise are probably worth putting in any Starfleet deck, because you can remove him from the game and go get whatever interrupt you want. So, and that's huge for Starfleet.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Especially near Starfleet, because you can have no cards in hand. You can have him get stopped, remove him from the game, grab yourself a cheater interrupt, which you play to make yourself better, and then you still have no cards in hand. So
exactly. I see some standard punishments in our future.
Yeah, they were really designed, especially Greer, were really designed to work for either Mirror or regular Starfleet decks. That was a conscious decision we made when we were working on them, to design them in such a way that they'd work for both. So they're good personnel that you can put in any deck, and they can also benefit your Mirror deck too. So
One of the things that I know I've heard mentioned as far as new expansions are concerned is, regardless of the affiliation that you decide to play or that you are playing on a regular basis and hoping for a new influx for that particular set, you always get new verbs, and in particular, new dilemmas. A little less so on this end. Was there any design decision on that, or?
Again,
how did
this
that
was
come to be?
This moment was somewhat planned for. We knew when we started, if we were going to be doing smaller expansions, and we felt, again, we've talked about this before, but we felt it was the perfect place to say, well, we're not going to do something for everybody, because we're going to, you know, we really wanted to add, you know, five or six new decks to the game rather than give something to the five or six existing decks. It was like, we're going to make new decks. And I think the team concept worked well. You know, we decided early on, we had a dilemma in there for a little bit that sort of punished you if you didn't have a team, but it just ultimately didn't work. And our mantra was, you know, this expansion's different. So there's nothing more different than an expansion that has no dilemmas in it. So there may be some people that never really use Allegiance because they don't play any of these factions, but hopefully a lot of people will jump in and try these things out and build some new decks and some new, and you know, whatever is popular and working, we can, you know, develop further in the future. And there's probably a list of seven or eight teams we didn't do that we could have done. So who knows, maybe in another three or four expansions, we'll do another team set and do, you know, five other teams for different affiliations that didn't get a team this time around. So,
well, I definitely, I'll give you some feedback right away in that this is definitely the first expansion I felt has been like a real, a genuine expansion, and not just the other. A lot of them have felt like, as you said, splashes of every affiliation, so everybody gets something, but there hasn't been any really new groundbreaking, okay, here's this card, and you are going to build a whole new deck that's never been played before because this card lets you do that, or these collection of cards. And this is really the first time that I've felt like, okay, wow, now we've got some guys that this is going to create a new deck type in the way that we have Starfleet and Mako Starfleet and Mirror Starfleet. Now there is, you know, also future non-human Starfleet. And before, there hasn't really been anything like that. So I'm definitely very excited, and I don't mind at all not getting any new dilemmas for another set, because that's that many different decks that that we can try out now. So I congratulate you. I certainly think that's a good decision. I'm sure some people would be upset if it continues that way. But I'm sure, you know, it's not going to be all the like this way all the time.
Well, as a Borg player, I was a little disappointed, but I understand.
You didn't want your you're missing out on your drone of the quarter.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we may do another team expansion in the future. I know Brad's got the next one lined up, and we've probably got the one between this one and the next one, or between the next one and the one after that ready. So not ready, but in development.
So do you think the next expansion will be back to sort of a splash expansion, and then there will be another team expansion after that? Or do you think we'll have another team expansion coming up right away?
I don't think you'll be another team expansion right away. I mean, I don't think we can get away with going 2/3 of a year without adding any new dilemmas.
That's a good point.
One of the brilliant designs of 2E is that the meta correction cards are dilemmas, usually. So if a certain affiliation or deck type gets really good, you make a bunch of dilemmas to beat it down. Not always, but so I mean, I don't think we can go another between. I would imagine between now and Worlds, there would be another expansion release that is not that it has dilemmas in it. Now that doesn't mean. I mean, the next one is really more of a it's described as sort of equal, leveling the playing field.